Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, if you didn't wake up this morning thinking about the Chevron doctrine, we don't blame you. But it is an important standard that was set back in 1984 Supreme Court case, and it's had a big impact on all of our lives, whether we realize it or not. And so we want to unpack it just a little bit. It is before the court once again. It is something that has really been the benchmark for a long time and giving the regulatory agencies a lot of power in terms of policymaking. And we're going to look at what the current court is looking at. If it reverses it, then what? And helping us do all of that, as always, Kevin Kosar, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on Congress, the administrative state, American politics, and election reform. And Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Boy, glad to be here.
For our friends who didn't wake up thinking about the Chevron doctrine today, give us a little primer there in terms of what it is and what it means, the impact it's actually had on us, whether we knew it or not.
Well, all right. So in our system, Congress writes the laws and the executive branch is supposed to implement them. Inevitably, laws are not sufficiently specific to handle all kind of aspects of implementation. So agencies kind of figure it out on their own. And in some cases, they issue regulations. Now, the question comes up, how do you know when a regulation is legal, that it is faithful to the law that was passed by Congress? Well, you know, you can file a lawsuit, but then that leaves the courts to figure it out. So what happened back in the 80s? We had the famous Supreme Court Chevron decision, wherein the courts basically said, look, we don't want to be a venue for every case under the sun. If we look at a regulation, we're going to ask ourselves, is it contrary to the law? And if the law doesn't speak on it, is the agency's regulation a reasonable interpretation of the law? Mm. So that's Chevron deference. Very abstruse, but it's had the long-term effect of basically empowering executive agencies to issue the regulations they want and to be less subject to challenge than they might.
Yeah. And so for a real practical tactical, we often use the example of sometimes Congress uses this as a way to not be as accountable. They'll do things like pass the law that says we shall have clean air. And then they bequeath all the power to decide what clean air is and what the rules are and what the penalties are and how to enforce the penalties over to the EPA. And then if a constituent has a problem because it's impacting their life or their family or their business, and they go to their member of Congress and complain, hey, this is hurting us, they'll say, hey, I just voted for clean air. If you have a problem, go to the EPA. And the EPA may or may not be interested because they're not elected. And so there's nothing there. And then usually what happens is what you described, a lawsuit gets filed, works its way through the court, ultimately ending up at the Supreme Court. And that's why that becomes so political. And so walk us through now, Kevin, in terms of what the court is looking at and why they're looking at this again now. And if they do reverse this, what do we expect to see in the aftermath?
Well, yeah, this has been coming a long time. You know, Chevron was a case that was supported by the right. You know, Chevron basically kind of limits courts' breadth of discretion for how they think about the legality of a regulation. But over time, you know, more conservatives have gotten concerned with the fact that the executive branch under Chevron has kind of been able to really push its authority, often in ways that seem to go beyond the clear intent of the law. And the case that brought up this kind of challenge is the Loper case, L-O-P-E-R, which involves fishermen who have basically been told by the government that you have to pay for federal inspectors to come on your boats. And what the fishermen basically said is, look, the 1970s era law that you guys are basing this regulation on, it doesn't say that you're authorized to do that. Mm. It doesn't say that we, the fishermen, have to pay for our own policing in the form of federal inspectors. And so they challenged it. And with a much more conservative court than we had, say, 10 or 20 years ago, the court took the case and is very seriously thinking about where's the line between lawmaking and execution, which is important to our separation of power system.
Yeah, and I think that's such an interesting one. And maybe just unpack a little more on the fisherman there, because that's such an interesting thing, because it went from just having everyone wants to make sure that things are clean and healthy and following the rules and the laws and all of that. But then when it goes beyond that to where they're telling really that you have to hire employees, that becomes a very different matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we agree on the policy goal, but if Congress is not specific enough about the means that are acceptable, don't be surprised when, executive agencies or in some cases even a president will go beyond means that were ever contemplated by the people who wrote the law.
Yeah, and I think that becomes the interesting thing. And I think this is one of the areas where we have to expect more out of Congress. We can't have these lovely sounding laws with great names and titles, but large chunks of it that says we hereby bequeath all of this to the agency. I think we have to get past that. And so how do we get past that? I know you and your colleague, Philip Wallach, who we've had on this show before, have been doing some things to try to change the dynamic of that. Explain that for us.
Yeah. So if you go back 50 years, the executive branch back then under Lyndon Baines Johnson and later Richard Nixon, they were basically running circles around Congress when it came to budgeting. Mm. They had, an office of budgeting, which later became the Office of Management and Budget. They had all the numbers. They had all the data. They had all the smart people working for them. And Congress didn't have a whole lot. So Congress created a Congressional Budget Office so it could at least have some numbers, and it could check the numbers that the executive branch was given it. We looked at that instance and said, you know what? Congress needs the same thing for regulation. More and more lawmaking in this country gets done through regulation than through Congress writing laws. And Congress has hardly any capacity to oversee the executive branch, to know when it's going beyond the law and when it's adopting regulations that are neither legal nor sensible. So we've argued for the creation of a Congressional Regulation Office, a kind of Madisonian response to strengthen Congress vis-a-vis the executive branch, because, it works, Boyd. Power abhors a vacuum, and if Congress isn't going to wield it, another branch will.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And as you pointed out recently, that knowledge is power, and if you don't want to have unaccountable bureaucrats and judges doing the legislative authority, then Congress has got to both have the weapons, the tools, and the knowledge to be able to actually do their job. And they have to also have the will, I think, to do their job so they can be held accountable as well. Kevin Kosar, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, great insight, great piece around the Chevron doctrine. We'll see how that continues to play out as the court unfolds. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
All right, it's Kevin Kosar, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. And this is one of those things that, again, I know you didn't wake up this morning wondering about the Chevron doctrine, but it impacts you every day more than you know when we have those who aren't elected making the rules or the laws and the legislation. That's not their job. Their job is to enforce it and implement it. Congress has to do their job, and then the executive branch can do theirs. We'll step aside. We'll be right back with more Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.